I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've always believed that as long as the content is good, more content is better. People have a thirst for content, blogs, guides, videos, and even podcasts hosted by two bald marketers. But can you have too much content?
I'm Joe Glover,
founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 20,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 19 years now, and I'm a massive believer in that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers in a spreadsheet.
So, Rich, you had the thought initially about this episode. So do you want to give us context for what made you think about too much content?
Nice shirking of your responsibility of the intro there, Joe. Thanks. Yeah. So this came from, actually this idea came from you a few weeks, maybe even a month ago, when we were talking about something and we were talking about how we schedule things and like having enough time to like promote this episode. I think we were talking about, can we fit this into like our overall kind of content calendar that's being pushed out to like get more listeners onto the Humans Come First podcast. And it got me thinking that, so you produce or are involved in the production of a ton of content, right? Mm-hmm. I'm involved in like either personally producing content, or I'm leading an agency that is producing a lot of content, and obviously I'm incentivized to make sure that people are seeing those content pieces and like other posts that the agency wants to put out. And it got me thinking, if we've got so much content, are we at the point, or can we be at the point when we have too much content? Because if I've always grown up with in marketing terms, I've always grown up with the belief that more content.
6-year-old Rich.
Yeah. So when I was a little boy, I used to think about content. But so, well, Fireman Sam, I think, was the pinnacle for me. And Super Ted. You might not remember either of those, but
Super Ted was the name of my first teddy bear. We digress nice. Anyway.
So, but I always grew up with the belief that you could never have too much content. The more content you had, the more that you're able to get eyeballs on it, the crawlers will go through it. And as long as it's not shitty content. And even when we went through the Penguin and Panda updates and all that kind of shit, as long as the content was good, wasn't keyword stuffed, had relevance, and it was human friendly, then it was more likely to rank. And the overall, the site, you've got breadth and depth of content, blah, 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 blah. But now, as an agency at least, and for me personally, SEO isn't necessarily the biggest driver of traffic for us anymore. So we as an agency and personally rely on, and this goes for you as well, we rely quite heavily on personal brand. Mm-hmm. And our personal brands are driven heavily by the social presence that we have. And from that social presence, we've got, so you and I roughly work to one LinkedIn post a day, right? Mm-hmm. Give or take. Yep. And we're fairly consistent with it. And we've talked at length about what's needed to kind of ramp all that up. Consistency is key, make sure the content is good, blah, 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 blah. But we are limited to 7 posts each a week, right? Yep. We have, so if you look at the content that I've got a webinar that we regularly run for our agency. We've got a weekly LinkedIn live that we run every Friday. I've got blog content that's been produced by the agency. I've got posts just like thought leadership. You guys can't actually see me do the fingers around the quotes there, but thought leadership content that we're putting out in on LinkedIn. We've got like video content, a ton of shit basically. Mm-hmm. I can't physically get all of that in 7 days. Yep. You have your weekly webinar series. You have your thought leadership content. You've got what else do you do, Joe? Surely there's something else in there. But you get the point, right? So very quickly, we've reached saturation point. So is there too much content? And that's basically where my thought chain got to. So now it's back over to you.
Nice. I like how this episode is turning out. We're just like throwing stuff in the air and then saying, catch it. Do something with that. But I fully agree. And actually, this has been the issue that's probably been top of my mind since COVID struck, really. And I've discussed this already in previous episodes, but one of the things that I'm very, very mindful of is that every time I send an email, it's another email that we've sent. Or every time I put a status up on LinkedIn, it's another status, you know, or even the podcast episode. And I think there's a couple of concerns. The first is that it gets annoying. The second is that, like, you get overexposed. So people, like, start hearing the same stuff. They're like, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, I've heard enough of them, you know, I won't bother engaging anymore. And I do think there's a line which you walk, which is like, you want to be out there, you want to be seen. But actually, when you start getting seen, then you don't want to be seen quite as much, to the point where, like, people get bored. So, you know, it's a delicate balance. And I think it's something that folks often speak about the first half, but very rarely the second. And it's a challenge. It's a real challenge. I think more than that, I definitely subscribe to the same thought process that you did about SEO, and you put content out there. And to be honest, it was a certain extent, you know, a little bit of a build it and they will come. You know, you put a blog post up and you expect, you know, the next day there'll just be a bunch of people linking to it. Your traffic will go up and stuff like that. And honestly, I've never really seen that theory put into practice particularly successfully. The blogs, the publications which I see flying are also the ones which take the time to actually make the content sing and get the backlinks and sort of like actually put the effort into distribution quite as much as they do into content production. A couple of examples would be Harry Dry at Marketing Examples and Carrie Rose at Rise at Seven. Both of them have done webinars with the Marketing Meetup, and the thing that struck me with both of them was that both take the time to produce their content in a way which is thoughtful, considered. It's quick as well, which is the other side to this argument. But both of them apply a focused thought to the creation of all this content that they put in, and then spend an awful lot of time on distribution as well. So I think, you know, that's something that I've never done, but the results actually come through, you know, seeing the process through both quality content creation and also quality distribution, which I guess sort of leads me to a place where it's like, it's not just the content that matters. It's also the distribution. It's the whole thing, which is interesting.
Do you reckon there's a tipping point or like a stage where you get to, and then you have to be more considered around that? So let's assume, so every LinkedIn coach, and I do say that with a dirty taste in my mouth because I really don't appreciate them, but every LinkedIn coach out there, and even both you and I have talked about this before, is like, if you were starting from scratch, be consistent, get content out there, say, like, have a voice and start saying things, get it all out there, just keep going until you start to get traction. Is there a point where you go from trying to get traction to having traction and then having to dial it back again? So you build the audience and then you have to level it back out and you have to really start considering it. So in that Carrie and Harry, when Carrie met Harry, in those examples where they're kind of focused and kind of almost in like that deep work frame of mind, do you feel like there's like the successful things you would have in your distribution channels? You would have a clear message, and like, I'm not even asking the question. Yes, obviously we want there to be a clear and consistent message across all of that because we want to be known for a certain thing. And if you are known for a certain thing, people then start to associate that thing with you and they go looking to you for the answers, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. My question actually is, do you think you're at that stage where, so you have an audience, right? So you get consistent traction with your posts, like people are listening. Are you at that stage and do you have a clear and consistent plan with what you're talking about, how you're talking about it, and then how you're integrating the content that you have at your disposal?
Mm-hmm. I think I am possibly getting towards that stage. And that also feels quite uncomfortable for me to sort of admit, you know, but, you know, it's one of those things. Like this weekend I posted like a picture of my laptop case that arrived over the weekend. And like, I'm not saying this is crazy numbers, but it was a lot for me relative to a few years ago, where if I posted the same image a few years ago, it would have got like 2 likes and it had like 180 instead, you know, and there was a bunch of comments on it and stuff like that. So like, it wasn't like the most thoughtful piece of content that's ever been produced, but, you know, people chose to engage with it. So I think there's something in that to a certain extent that the audience is growing.
But what do you think that in that particular example, mm-hmm. were you, and I'd say this with a bit of tongue in cheek, did you post that because you had nothing else to post that day and you were like, do you know what, I'm going to post an image of this. I'm sure people are going to like this because they normally like the imagery type stuff. Or did you post that as part of a content strategy or plan, as in here is my logo on a plate, like people are seeing this business grow from what was just a meetup into something that now has its own swag and branding, like we've now got laptop covers, we've made it type thing. Like, is there was there a plan or were you out of content?
I think on that day it was a Sunday, so I posted it on Sunday, and I think at the weekend I do post semi-regularly, but I tend to try and post more lighthearted stuff. So it's not like a bit of marketing insight or something like that. So I think that arrived that morning. So I was like, you know, I'll just post that as a bit of lighthearted something to share with the community. There wasn't like a big content plan, which is the second half of your question from earlier. Do I have a big plan? And the answer is no, not really. And I wish I did. So Ash Jones is brilliant at this. So he's the guy that was behind the personal brand of Stephen Bartlett. And the way that he recommends folks go about it is that they put together 3 to 5 subjects which they want to be known for, and use those as your sort of guiding lights. So you actually go through the active consideration thing of saying, these are the things that I want to be known for. After that, you put together some subjects that would fit underneath each of those columns, and then a narrative associated with each of those columns. So for example, if we're speaking about marketing, you would have marketing on the top level, then you'd have like SEO, PPC, strategy, whatever, and then you'll have a narrative next to each of those things. So SEO is great, PPC is fabulous, you know, but personal branding is rubbish, you know, whatever it may be, but you've got a viewpoint on each of these things. And I don't have that at the moment. It's always been very natural. I think the place which I'm getting to now is that I would love to be doing stuff like more speaking gigs and more podcasts and more blog posts and stuff like that. And I don't know myself what the thing that I would, if I was in an organizer's shoes, I don't know what the thing that I would be asked to speak about. You know, I think I'd be known as like a guy who does marketing, but I don't know if I'd be known as a guy who does marketing on a specific thing in the same way as Ash Jones is like the personal branding guy. And
but what's the thing that, like, when you and I chat, right, what's mm-hmm. the thing that you get most fired up and energized about talking to me about? Like, what's the topic that we touch on, or like an area that we focus on that drives that passion behind you?
I think it goes back to the title of this podcast, right? It's the humanity behind marketing. And so right now I'm working on an article that is titled Should Marketing Be Kind? You know, and I think that kindness in marketing is like a thing that is true to me as a person. And I would actually say that the answer to that, which I'm coming to, is marketing doesn't have to be kind. So, you know,
I have proof.
Yeah, I love that someone mentioned the angel and devil dynamic that grows on it. Think the other day, that was really
funny. I've proofed my newsletter that went out this week had the subject line, your ideas are worthless, full stop. And it had the best open rate we've ever had on that newsletter.
Honestly, I think there's love and there's hate. You know, I think I've discussed this before, but you got either end of the spectrum, and people lean into love or hate. And if you're doing one, then you're doing all right.
But I don't, but on, and we are digressing from the topic on that, but with that particular, like, I don't, that was a probably aggressive, provocative kind of, I like, people are intrigued, is Rich this person who I've signed up to his newsletter and therefore I'm going to assume respect my thoughts, or like, that's why they're engaging with that, they want to know what I think. And if I'm then saying to them, your ideas are worthless, there's a trigger that's going to go, actually, I really want to read that. But those people also know me in terms of like the way that I position myself, the persona that I have in the content that I put out, which I don't actually see as a persona because I am very, very like I am what you see is what you get across all of the channels in most respects. There are some channels where I'm probably a little more open, but like you pretty much get what you see. And I think they would probably assume that there is a, like, I'm not being aggressive. I am not necessarily rubbishing their ideas because they know that that is the angle that I take. So I've done that exercise with the three things that I want to be known for. Yeah. Fucked if I can remember what any of them are. But like one of them is like very similar to you. The reason that we do this podcast is because we both believe in that human-centric marketing. And I think we come at it from similar angles, but we also diverge. So I don't think we actually have to fight over it at the moment. Maybe one day, but I'll definitely win. But the
you'll be like 400 years old by that point. So
it's all right, mate. Older and wiser. And again, we are digressing. But the, like, if you look at it from that perspective, I have the thing that I want to be known for and the way that I want to talk. And the way that I want to talk, because I believe in that human-centric marketing, is that I want to speak like a human. I want to give you my opinions, my thought processes, and I don't necessarily want to filter that. And that's where, so if I start to look at how I position content, I don't really have much of a, I wouldn't say there's like a content plan, because I write a lot of the posts on the day, like the morning that I post them while my kids are eating cereal beside me. Like that's pretty much the process I go through a lot of the time. But what I do have is on a Monday, normally I will publish that we're going to do the LinkedIn live so that people can start to register it, because I can only register that a week in advance through LinkedIn. And then on a Tuesday, I'll probably do like a thought leadership piece. On a Wednesday, I might talk about a recruitment post. On a Friday, I might talk about, like, you get the idea. So there's like different things that are going out at different times, and they are all focused around the overarching theme of growth. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, like, there's a bit of marketing in there, there's a bit of sales, and there's also a bit of how I am running a business and the things that I think about running a business. And it's half thought leadership, it's half experience. I know I can't have three halves, but I guess then the other bit is like my life and the way that what I'm doing affects my life as well. So like you on the weekend, I will normally have a softer, more tongue-in-cheek post that goes out. It might be images of the kids. So like the snow day when over Christmas we were throwing, I had a video of my daughter throwing a snowball at me, and just like I use that as a basis to say like I'm actually taking some time out now. And it's that kind of stuff. My favorite ever post is when I poked fun at the Salesforce community and they went berserk. So like it's that kind of stuff. So I have a persona of direction, kind of the stuff I want to talk about, but no real overarching goal. And I think that's where I need to change the way that I look at it and have a kind of definitive direction.
Yeah. And I guess that definitive direction then helps with stuff when, you know, I think I also have a similar structure in that I know I'm probably going to be posting about a webinar on Monday, thinking about it. You know, I've never thought about this in depth, but, you know, Monday is webinar, Tuesday is about the webinar that just happened. Saturday, Sunday is more lighthearted, which leaves Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for everything else. And I guess the difficulty with that sort of loose structure that we hold in our heads is that it's a loose structure that is very tactically based, but it's without the strategy. Yeah. But it's a fine example of tactics making you feel busy without necessarily moving you forward. That's kind of true and kind of not true, because like I think both of us have done an all right job at building a quote unquote personal brand, even if we haven't had that strategy. I think you're right in that there's something in it in having a broader plan behind things. And pause, because there was a question that came to my mind which I completely blanked on.
So coming back to like the overall question then, so like can we have too much content? So, and I'm kind of using content loosely there, because like normally we would say like videos, blogs, podcasts, shit like that would be content, but I'm also talking about like the thought leadership posts, the promoting the webinars and all that kind of stuff.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How do you balance it? Because you have too much content for if you're posting once a day. How do you balance that?
Well, I don't know whether I have. I think that's the truthful answer, is that like I carry a lot of guilt that I don't promote this podcast more than I do. You know,
and
you've always been very good at promoting the podcast in comparison to me. You know, so I don't think I have the answer on how you get around it. I think you just need to sort of open yourself up a little bit and sort of work beyond. Well, in fact, you know what the answer is that you need to have a strategy behind it, and you need to have that idea and say, well, the thing that I'm working towards is this, and therefore the posts and the content that are going to help me get to that place are this. You know, actually, it's probably as simple as that. But if you don't have the goal, if you don't have the reason to do it other than doing it itself and enjoying the likes and the engagement and all that sort of stuff, then you probably do end up in a scenario which I'm in for sure, you know, which is posting, knowing that it's doing something, but not necessarily knowing if it's working towards the goal that we need it to.
What is your goal?
Well, I think I have two. So I think there's a personal goal and then there's a business goal. So I think the personal goal is that I would love to be doing more speaking gigs. I'd love to be sort of paid to do that as well. I'd like that to be like part of my career, you know, and alongside that, I'd also like to write books and that stuff. So almost by definition, I need to build an element of reputation or notoriety within the industry. That means when I do a talk or do a book, then it's worth attending or it's worth paying for or it's worth engaging with. So I guess there's one element, which is build the audience and sort of become known as the marketing person. The second is that the marketing meetup is growing, and you know, there's a message behind the marketing meetup as well, which is, you know, one of community and bringing people together. And I fundamentally believe that to be the way to go forward. And likewise, that goal kind of mishmashes with the personal goal, which is if we want to spread that message, then we've got to be known. You know, we've got to be known for it. So I guess on a high level, my goal is slightly different to, I'd say, a B2B brand, in that fame is probably an element of the goal. You know, it's becoming well known. Which sounds really weird, and I don't think it really sits comfortably, but it's probably true. So don't judge me. Like, I know you're. How about you? I mean, what would you say?
So I think a big driver behind it is obviously revenue generation. Like, if you roll it all back, where we're trying to ultimately get it to is revenue generation. Now, it would be very rare that it would be a kind of like almost like a last click attribution that it's come from the personal posting. Most of our sales now come from somebody who has engaged with the personal brand across, either from me or from one of the other leadership team, who has engaged with the personal brand at some point in the sales process. Not necessarily the first point, but at some point it's used to nurture, or like they will be exposed to that at some point. And it massively, massively helps, because it gives credibility to who we are as an agency. They can start to see the personality behind the agency, all of that. So revenue is a one of the goals. Mm-hmm. The other is, I think, fame. I don't know if I'd quite call it fame because I'm not chasing fame. Fame is would be a byproduct of growing the brand to ultimately grow the revenue. Yeah. I'd love to do speaking, but even if I'd got to the point where I was doing speaking, it would still be to overall grow the brand that I am associated with. However, having said that though, it's very rare that I will sell shit on across my personal brand. It's very rare that you'll see a post from me saying, come buy this from us, use our service for this. Yeah. Sometimes it'll be in there, but it's very rare. So I do use it as a brand awareness piece, but a soft approach to a brand awareness piece, as in it's not us shouting about Six and Flow, it's us growing my profile to then grow the profile that I'm associated with. And that's, I think it's an important difference because people buy from people, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard that before, but it's that difference that it humanizes it, which comes back to what we talk about here. It humanizes the brand and it makes people feel like they're in part of something. So if you have access to the leadership team, you're excited by, like, you feel like you're watching somebody who is quote unquote famous, who is engaged on these channels. Other people are looking up to this person and you can visibly see that because you can see the lights, the engagement, how much content's going out there. You either agree or disagree with the posts. And you start to go, actually, these people really know what they're talking about. And I can have access to that person by engaging with them. Actually, I really want to work with them as an agency. So you almost, I think what you and I are doing is creating a fan base around the personal brands that is then translatable into the services that we ultimately offer behind that. So I would question if you're necessarily chasing fame as opposed to chasing the outcome, and fame will be a byproduct of that.
Absolutely. It works on levels, doesn't it? And likewise, I guess you speak about humanizing the brand and stuff like that, but then two words I think you used there were about credibility and sort of humanity.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I think likewise, the tier one sort of level is sort of like humanity is what you're aiming for. But then the sort of tier two is the way that you go about achieving that is through establishing credibility and humanity, so showing the snowball picture, etc. So yeah, you know, I'm in full agreement, you know, that probably the word fame sits funny with me, probably because it's not true in a sense. You know, I think the message is far more important, and the belief is that having a wider distribution on that message is a pleasant thing and an ideal scenario. So yeah, no
is very it, true. So my biggest bugbear, coming back to LinkedIn coaches, and this is why I don't like a lot of them. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's be people out there who are coaching and doing a good job of it and kind of helping. But most of them talk about tactics around have a call to action on everything you do, like be promoting yourself at every stage. And I think that is absolutely the wrong way to go, particularly if you don't already have an audience. Mm-hmm. You have to start with building the audience. You have to, and even where we are now, we have to be aware that we have to balance between audience growth and audience engagement and what we are ultimately trying to do with that audience. Yeah. Like, there has to be a balance. And that's where I think a lot of coaches and people who are just starting out on LinkedIn, or just not just starting, but like starting to try and grow that presence, is they go straight in with the ask, always the ask, always the ask. And it's just the wrong way to do it, in my opinion.
It's mad, you know, I mean, we're certainly not holding ourselves up as the example of things to copy ever, you know, but, you know, having spent more time than we'd care to admit on LinkedIn, then even today, you know, if I'd expect a normal post to get whatever, if I was to put a call to action in it, it would probably a quarter of the people would engage with that specific thing, you know, and if your sample size is that you usually get four likes and then you get one, or you usually get four clicks or whatever, it doesn't really matter what the numbers are. You know, if you're putting the call to action and everything, people are going to tire of your content so quickly. So
it's funny because, like, I can always tell when I've had a week of like heavy promotion. So we're heavily recruiting at the moment. So if anybody wants a job, come look at our website. But the heavily recruiting, we've got a webinar series that started. We've got the LinkedIn Lives. I've got the newsletter that I have to promote. All of these things. And I had a probably 2 weeks of heavy ask, like ask. And you can always see the next week when you flick back into like the give or like just sharing content posts, it is just like the numbers drop, and it takes a while to then get back up to there, because then I think people then become attuned of, oh, there's Rich's post. I didn't engage with it last time. Why would I engage with it now? Because he's asking me to do something.
Well, that's it. And that is the flip side to much of this argument, right? That there is such a thing as too much content. And I hate the thought of pandering to algorithms, because like, I just don't believe that that's the way to do things. But there is part of it, part of the discussion, which is that, you know, LinkedIn or whatever would like you to post every day, and if you get momentum behind your profile, then they'll show more of your stuff to more people, you know. So there is an advantage in having that momentum, and having four posts in a row which get more than 50 likes, you know, will probably mean that on the fifth day you'll probably get, you know, 100 or whatever it is, you know. I think there is something in that. So that build-up process is certainly one that I've observed too. So it's all about the texture. My old boss used to run 2.5 day conferences, and he always used to put out all of the speakers and the talks on post-it notes, and he'd shuffle them around over the course of the 2.5 day schedule. And he said that the thing that he was trying to create was texture. So within those moments, there was the high energy talk, and then there was a more sort of informational one, and then there was X, Y, Z. And really, we're just doing the same here. You know, we're trying to create a texture within our content, which sort of means that it's not just all one, all the other in big bursts. It's, you know, it's an ebb and a flow. It's a texture of content throughout the course of time.
So I'm going to round it up then. So from this, three words to take out of it: texture, balance, and credibility. And I think that's, as long as you focus on those things, then, and the content fits within that, then I think you'd be all right.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I'd probably add strategy and goals to that, potentially, because I think on a personal level, that's what I'm missing. But I think that's a very good starting point with your three.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome, mate.
And also, Joe, exciting news. You had a new arrival yesterday.
Yesterday, I don't know when this podcast episode is going out. So. Oh wait, my iPhone.
Yes, yeah. Joe, the iPhone.
Yeah, it's actually all right. I quite like it.
Good. I'm glad, Joe. I'm glad we brought you into the real world.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that's about it. As ever, please leave us a 5-star review, because it does make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. We have ordered some swag t-shirts to give away, but they are not here yet. So as soon as they come, then we will start sending those out. And those of you who have left reviews, don't worry, I have noted it down, so I won't forget. Anything from you, Joe?
Nope. All good. Thank you for listening.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye.